Welcome to Gracefully, your field guide to growing old. I'm Lisa Napoli in Los Angeles. Why would a group of 20-year-olds be drawn to the field of gerontology? For one thing, with our aging population, it's a smart career choice for someone just entering the workforce. Caroline Cicero's Women in Gerontology class is filled mostly with young women who have very distinct reasons for embarking on this focus. There's even a man in the class. The curriculum, in fact, should be required for everyone of any age or gender. The class covers the psychological, social, and political implications of aging and touches on discrimination, stereotypes, employment, social interaction, and other challenges facing the older women. I went to campus and sat in on a class to learn more. You'll meet the students after a brief chat I had with the professor.
So, this class is Women in Aging, so some students from across campus come here just to take it as an elective because they're interested in gender studies or women's issues. Other students are here because they're interested in aging or they're a major in gerontology.
What was the impetus for them to study that? That's an interesting thing.
I usually ask students at the beginning of the semester, why are you in this? Or I also ask them, who is the oldest person you know? And usually, also applies to myself, it goes back to a grandparent. A lot of them have an aging grandparent, or they watched their mother or father care for an aging grandparent, or they have something around their grandparents that makes them want to study this, usually.
And study it enough to major in it is a big difference, right?
Right. Well, some students take that into, I'm just going to study this because it interests me. Other students, and these are undergrads we're talking about, want to go to med school or want to work in an assisted living, or maybe that's actually something in their family business in healthcare or hospital administration. That's what I found. And there are some who are interested in it, again, because of med school. But when they get to med school, our field would love for them to become experts in aging, become a geriatrician, because we are sorely needing doctors who specialize in aging. Although by the time students get in med school, often they get sidetracked to other specializations.
More lucrative one.
Exactly. So, you know, geriatricians aren't sexy as a title, and so actually radiologists and surgeons make the most money. But geriatricians really are just internists, or sometimes GPs, family practitioners, who specialize in aging. But we really need so many more, and if you ask med schools all across the country, you know, getting people interested in aging is difficult.
What made you study?
My grandparents, my grandmothers interested me a little bit in aging. Both my grandfathers, one died before I was born, and one died like the day before my first day of eighth grade. But my grandmothers, I watched age, and they moved into continuing care facilities where I saw how they were cared for as they were widows. But I really got hooked into it from studying social work, and my first internship was here in the School of Gerontology, and that's when I got hooked on the idea of the field of aging, because I didn't know anything about it prior. I only had experience with my grandmothers.
Mm-hmm. And did people have a strange reaction? People your age peers then think that was odd, that a younger person would want to study this?
Yes, actually, when I started studying my social work degree for an MSW, I was only 22. And so here I was as a 22-year-old in my first internship counseling 82-year-olds. And that's when I got hooked, actually, listening to their stories. I worked over the next few years with a lot of Holocaust survivors or formerly interned Japanese Americans, and that's what got me hooked.
This syllabus is so comprehensive, it was a little overwhelming to read it, and imagine that in one semester you would talk about the range of issues from cosmetics to transgender. I mean, how do you summarize the history of women, basically, and the whole age span? And
well, I usually ask my students at the beginning of the semester, who here has read The Feminine Mystique? And I found that none of them has. So I first read it when I was about 22. So I say, okay, we have the 50th anniversary edition that came out a couple years ago, so we're going to start with that and get a history of feminism from Betty Friedan's perspective. Also, this semester we're reading Gloria Steinem's latest book, My Life on the Road, which is really a memoir. We study the waves of feminism, which some of them know about. But apart from that, I tell them that we're going to study women from age 35 to 105. And they ask me, why 35? And I say, well, because if you're 35 and you're pregnant and you walk into the OBGYN, they will tell you you are an at-risk pregnancy because of your advanced age. And so that's why we start off at 35.
And does that blow them
away?
Yes. Yeah. Well, because many of them, like many of us, have a trajectory of their life where they figure, I'm going to get my BA, and then I'm going to go to law school, and then I'm going to work for 6 years, and then I'm going to get married, and then I'm going to get pregnant and have babies. And so when they start to count that up, they say, wait a minute. At the same time, we do have Janet Jackson, who's 50, who's pregnant. And we, of course, have men like Mick Jagger, who are 72 and
fathering
children. So there's a lot of issues with reproduction. But I try, actually based on my own life, I try to instill in my students that, you know, age is not, should not be the determinant for how you manage your career and your education. I got a PhD after I had children. My kids were 3 and 6 when I started my PhD. So I always encourage people that, you know, if you're in love, you can get married. That doesn't mean you can't get a master's degree. I got 2 master's degrees after I was married. And so we've put women on this trajectory that they need to have all their stuff together before they think about a love relationship. And I don't think that's true. I think you can have both.
What about the 105?
Right. Well, many people are living past 100 these days. We have the aging baby boomers who are now 52 to 72 years old, or 70 years old. Anyway, but by the year 2030, they'll all be 65 to 85. And by 2050, they'll be 85 to 105. And many of them will still be living because life expectancy is increasing. So our fastest growing age group is the 85 and up population. And all of our public policy, all of our studies need to be reframed to look at the 85 and up population. Traditionally, we've thought, oh, aging is 65 and up, because that's a retirement age, but many people are working into their 80s now, as you know. And so we really need to look at people who are in their 80s, 90s, or 100, and how aging is working for them.
So in many ways, the people we're about to meet are the future. They could have really long-term, robust careers.
Absolutely. Just as anyone who's 65 and retires tomorrow could live 40 years as a retired person, our students who are graduating could have a 40 or more year career or work into their, you know, old age in this field. So there's great opportunity out there. We need many more younger people to be interested in the field of aging, whether it's the scientific side or the psychology, sociology, policy. There are many, many different avenues that a young person could pursue having to do with aging.
Now let's meet Professor Caroline's students.
Hi, I'm Daisy. I'm majoring in communication, and my minor is individual society and aging. I think it's because it's like applicable to everyone. Like, everyone always says, oh, you're studying old people, but no, like, we literally start studying people at the age of 30, and it's all like stuff that's going to happen to us, and it's really relevant. So, and I have like older, like, I have grandparents and parents, so it's just like really useful to learn about. Even if I didn't want to use it in like a career path, it's nice to like have that background.
Hi, I'm Brittany. I'm a senior and I'm studying human development and aging. So major here, and then minor cinema TV for health professions. So I'm really interested in kind of stories that related to health and related to aging and kind of all aspects of the broad spectrum. But I originally got into gerontology just because I've been really close with my grandparents always and have seen their trajectory of aging and how difficult it was and how difficult it was for my parents. And, you know, then for me, I want to be able to, in some way, help them age gracefully. And I think the whole aging community is a huge area of need, and I'm interested in maybe seeing where that goes with my career. But
hi, I'm Jessica. I'm a sophomore here. I'm studying lifespan health at the School of Gerontology, and I'm a ceramics minor. I always knew that I wanted to go into a gerontological field even before I learned what gerontology is. I'm adopted, so my parents are significantly older than the greater majority of my friends, so I've always had a close connection with the elderly population. And before This was an issue that a lot of my friends were aware of. My parents and their friends were talking about, oh, like Social Security, is like, what are we gonna do? Is it feasible retirement? Do we retire in Minnesota or do we stay in Los Angeles? Mm-hmm. All of these issues that I was aware of from a young age. And so when I was applying to colleges, I was reading about the School of Gerontology and I knew that this was my calling. So that's what brought me to USC.
My name is Greg Howard. I'm a real estate major at Price and also a gerontology minor. I chose gerontology because I feel like a lot of housing developers aren't catering to the older people, and I see a lot of opportunity that in the future, not many people in real estate even consider the population, even though, I don't know, it's so much of a large sector of it. So hopefully I can do something with that in the future.
I'm Andrea Swillow. I'm a senior. I'm studying global health and minoring in human rights. And my reasoning for taking this class is I'm really interested in studying like vulnerable and marginalized populations. And I feel like the aging population being so large, like there's not that much conversation around it. And like aging, especially for women, is like kind of a taboo topic. So I was like really interested in like engaging with that and like kind of normalizing the subject and just learning more about it.
Hello, hi, I'm Natasha. My major is Health and Humanity, and I'm also minoring in International Health Development and Social Justice. I'm actually taking this class as part of my elective, but it's really interesting because I've taken a lot of like gender and feminist classes in the past, and we've never really talked about aging women. So to talk about aging women here is like opening a lot of doors for me and realizing how many barriers there are for aging women, or even just the aging population in general. It's just really interesting because I never really thought of myself as growing old. Like right now, I'm just like, hey, just graduate and we'll take it one step at a time. But like aging is something you really need to plan ahead for. And now it's opening my eyes to be like, okay, maybe I should actually think about myself, my parents, my grandparents even. So yeah, it's really interesting.
Hi, my name's Ifalola and I'm a health and humanity major and then also doing my master's in public health. So my reasoning for doing GERO is very different than all of these. Like, these are all really good reasons, but one of my semesters I just had like a really packed course load, so I took like the online GERO class in order to like make sure I could do all of my units, and from there, so now the emphasis of my major like is GERO, and so it was like from there that I even discovered like what gerontology was, and like when I would tell people, oh no, like I'm doing gerontology, they're like, what is that? Especially in England where it's like still not really a thing, like it isn't called that at all. So that was how I ended up doing gerontology, and then this class like fits in with my major requirements, and I just thought it was like an interesting way of approaching aging, especially since we talk about like all of these different elements in gerontology, but you never really like delve into like a specific subset of the population. A lot of the time it was like a very general overall view of it, and so I thought it would be interesting to look specifically at something which, I mean, affects every one of us except for Greg because he's not a woman, but
but he presumably has them in his life,
yeah,
somehow,
exactly.
So it's interesting to talk, we didn't really even talk about this, about aging in different cultures, right? Because different cultures, when I lived in the Kingdom of Bhutan, somebody said to me the most chilling example of development there was when he knew things would be going downhill when they had to start a rest home. Because it's a kind of place where people live five generations in a house. You know, the idea that you ever move out when you get married, it just is, and that an old person would leave is just unfathomable to them. So it's interesting. I would think that England is sort of similar to us in terms of...
It's like similar, and I guess like my view is like tainted in a way because my parents are Nigerian, and so seeing how they age there is very different like than the Western society. So I think there's like a lot of like isolation here in the US and in England, whereas like in Nigeria it's very much you respect your elders, like you're there to like take care of them, and it's a very different view. So
I'm Ellie and I'm majoring in lifespan health and minoring in entrepreneurship. I got into the gerontology major because I've been an athlete my whole life, and so I've interacted with trainers and nutritionists and everything that are all focused on performance, and I'm super into wellness, health, fitness, performance, all that, but I wanted to take it from a different approach because a lot of nutritionists and trainers in the athletic world are very focused on performance in that moment. where in the end it like really kind of screws you, the way that they train and pack in certain proteins and stuff. And so I wanted to take it like life performance, like maximizing your performance through your lifespan. Even though I do think that it's like super interesting and applicable to like older people and like my aging process, I kind of wanted to take it from how can I start now living so that I can perform the best when I'm 60. I find that really interesting, and hopefully I can blend that with the business world somehow. So
I'm Courtney. I was undeclared up until like last week, so I just figured out I'm pre-med, but doing health and human sciences, emphasis in aging, with an occupational therapy minor. So super into like learning about how to help people and different types of people, and I think that's why I took gerontology. I kind of stumbled upon it like at Valola. Like I took the online class and really liked it, and I want to be like a plastic surgeon, so that's really applicable to, I want to do like skin treatments and things like that and lasers and stuff, so I feel like all my clients would probably be older, so I should learn now.
You must see people's perspectives change over the course of the semester.
Right. Well, the first paper I have my students write, and these are all just short reflective papers, but the first one is talk about your own aging, and these are 18 to 21-year-olds, so some of you might think, I don't have any aging, but I have them reflect on their own aging, where they've come from, and where they want to be as they age over the next several decades. The second paper I have them write is just about the F word, feminism, and what they think about that. Is that a bad word? How do they feel about it? And so some of them already, we're only 6 weeks into the semester, 7 weeks, some of them already have said, well, I came into this thinking I wasn't a feminist or I wasn't interested in women's issues, but really I've already come to realize that these are important issues to me and should be to the society at large. So
aside from the fact that we live in Los Angeles, I think the whole world is pressured to look good, seem good, jump out of helicopters till we're as old as possible just to maximize it all. And very few of us think about the questions that you're asking, right? I never sat around and thought, well, what do I want to be like when I'm 75? I just know I want to keep going. Right. So what is it that you hope that people come away from when they take your classes? I mean, in all the range of work that you do, because mm-hmm. it cuts across so many different areas, what do you want?
I always have a few goals. One is to get people interested in the field of aging so they might become professionals in it. Two is to pursue their personal relationships with family, where they might engage in conversations with their loved ones, grandparents. I always say over Thanksgiving, please ask questions, ask serious questions to your parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles. Three, I want people to become aging advocates, where they might be advocating on behalf of older people or with older people. And four, in relation to that, is ageism, reducing ageism, because here in Hollywood, especially in Los Angeles, and everywhere on the internet, there's so much ageism. We see it in our political process right now. And so I really hope to help students understand ageism, where it's coming from, what about all the memes or viral videos or TV shows or movies you watch. How come women aren't given roles to play older characters? Why do we see older men, a 75-year-old man partnered with a 50-year-old woman or a 40 or a 30 or a 20-year-old woman? Mm-hmm. Why is that okay, and should we change that narrative? Mm-hmm.
Caroline Cicero is working to change that narrative in her position as a professor at the Leonard Davis School of Gerontology at the University of Southern California. You can read more about her work and the syllabus on our website, gracefullyradio.com. Please send us feedback and your story ideas from there, too. I'm Lisa Napoli in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening to Gracefully.